Thank you. We're going to have the Bible reading now. And I'm going to ask if the members of the Silver Lace Avenue community group could come up, and we're going to do the reading for you together, because it's a kind of an unusual reading. And Joe, come on, that's great. Great. Absolutely great. We probably do need to be at a bit of an order here. This is the first time we've done this, but hope you'll see why in a minute. So we want to have John, and then we want to have Elizabeth, and then we want to have Joe, who's going to, and then we're going to have Jean. So Nikki, you've gone down that way, and then Rachel. No, John again. John again, but that'll come in there, and then Rachel. And then Joe again, and then Nikki at the end. All right. So this is a reading at the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, and let's just see how this goes, all right? So, open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wonderful things out of your law. Amen. This is the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, Judah the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar.
Perez the father of Hezron, Hezron the father of Ram, Ram the father of Aminadab, Aminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife.
Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asa. Asa, the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Jeroham. Jeroham, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah, the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz.
Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amon. Amon, the father of Josiah.
And Josiah, the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the exile of Babylon. After the exile of Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel.
Jerubbaal, the father of Abihad. Abihad, the father of Eliezkim. Eliezkim, the father of Azor.
Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok, the father of Achim. Achim, the father of Elihud.
Elihud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar, the father of Mathan. Mathan, the father of Jacob. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Hallelujah.
Thus, there were 14 generations in all, from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you. And what about a cheer for the Silver Lace Avenue? Thank you, guys. You hang on to that. That's fine. All right. Okay. I'll put that over here. Okay. I don't know whether you are going to watch a lot of Netflix or Amazon Prime. I believe there's a certain football match going on tonight. And sometimes before things that you watch on the television, you get something called a preview. This is what happened in the previous episode in order to set you up for what is going to happen. And I'm guessing that quite a few of us, if we're watching any of the television around over the Christmas time, might be looking at one or two things like that. And sometimes there's a little sign that comes up which says you can skip the preview. I'm getting a few nods. Okay, that's all right. That's helpful, encouraging me. And sometimes if you start the New Testament and the Gospel of Matthew that we've just read, sometimes people just skip over all those verses that have just been read out. And you go straight to verse 18, which is maybe we'll be looking at next week on Christmas Day. But I want to encourage you, even if normally you would skip over the preview when you're watching football or a film, don't skip over this preview now, because it has got quite a lot to help us see what God intends us to understand in the story. I'm going to get myself a stand here. I'm just going to get myself a little stand. That's great. Because I don't know how many of those names you heard or familiar with. You might have thought, well, Abraham, got a vague idea that he was around sometime before Jesus. David, didn't he kill somebody called Goliath? Ruth, that's the name that rings a faint bell. And, wasn't there some reference to Uriah's wife? Now, didn't she have a name? What was her name? Bathsheba, wasn't it? Wasn't she mixed up with David somehow? Actually, if you go through those names, there's quite a lot packed into them. And I want us to unpack them so that when we get to the main episode from verse 18 onwards in the life of Jesus, we get the whole picture, the full story. We're not missing out on anything that God intends us to get. And it says in Ephesians 3 that when Paul is praying, he says, I'm praying to the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth, including all those in our Silver Lace Avenue community group, including all those in Silver Lace Avenue that I don't know, and I'm hoping some of them will come to the carol service next Sunday, at Christmas Eve. Everyone has a name, and they are known by the Lord. And everyone here is too. Even if, like me, you don't know the names of many of the people here. I'm Keith, by the way. Okay, so what does the preview tell us? What if we were reading those names and we were familiar maybe more, if we haven't gone back to the Old Testament and the Hebrew Bible for a while, what would we be getting as we heard those names being read out? They tell us a few things. The first thing they tell us is that the story of Jesus starts a long, long way back. This is not just a kind of late in the day afterthought from God. Luke, in his account, takes you right back to Adam, but Matthew takes you back to Abraham, who lived, we think, about 2,000 years before Jesus. 1,500 maybe. And if you know anything about Abraham and the story in Genesis, you will know that that person, Abraham, is signaling to the whole world God's intention to bring blessing to all the nations. So the preview is telling you God hasn't forgotten the promise. And the preview is telling you that blessing is coming to the world through Jesus. But what about David, the other person who lived about 1,000 years BC, we think? Not just Goliath, but he was the king of Israel. He represented the best, in a way, appointed, anointed to demonstrate God's rule over the whole country. So Matthew is telling us God hasn't forgotten that promise either, and that the one who is coming, part of the blessing he is bringing to the world, is the reign of God, the kingdom of God, not just for Israel, but for everywhere. So it tells us it's a long history in the coming, okay? Maybe that's a good thing to remember as we get caught up in the history and the mixed up nations and the situation of the world at the moment, that God's very familiar with it. He's been working his purposes out for a long time. These names tell us something else. They tell us that the storyline is actually a very mixed bag. Don't get me wrong, I love Christmas carols. I love the songs. We had some wonderful ones last night, and I'm sure we're going to have a lot more over the next few days. But sometimes, I don't know whether you may be feeling like this, apologies if you don't, but sometimes the very beauty of the carols, Away in a Manger or whatever it may be, and you think it's kind of somehow unreal. Okay, well, it's lovely and it's church and it's Christmas and it's nice and everything, but what about the real world, really? But the names that we've just heard read out tell us that actually God's very familiar with us as a mixed bag. Some of those names, Manasseh, not a very well-known name because he was a pretty terrible king. Hezekiah wasn't much better. Or the sons of Jacob, if you get to see a reference there in verse 3 to Judah, well, you need to go back to Genesis 38 and you see what he got up to with Tamar. And you'll realize that in the family tree, there is quite a lot of families where, let's just put it nicely, it wasn't perfect. And we find that back then, even royal ones had their problems. But it tells us some more of these names. These names tell us that Jesus' story had plenty of surprises. Look at verse 5 and Ruth and Boaz. Do you know about them? Rosie and I, we're reading the story of Ruth during Advent. It's one of the most beautiful stories in the whole Bible. It's just tucked under, and you can miss it between the book of Judges and the book of 1 Samuel. Did you know Ruth? She wasn't from Israel, she was from Moab, one of the enemies of Israel. And in the preview, Matthew is telling us that the story of Jesus is going to be for all nations. And if you fast forward to the end of Matthew's gospel where it says, go to all the nations, well, we have a preview in Ruth, a young woman coming from a nation that Israel was at enmity with, wanting to be part of God's people, and not only eager to learn, but actually in the story of Ruth, demonstrating better discipleship than the Israelites themselves. And if the story, the names, the preview tell us of surprises, they tell us of sin as well. Who was Uriah's wife? Oh, yes. Bathsheba. It wasn't her problem, but David again, who not only committed adultery with her, but murdered her husband. Maybe if we were making up our family trees, do you know what? There might be a few things we would just like prefer to edit out. But see, Matthew doesn't edit it out. He names it. He names the surprises. And he names the sin, and it turns out God's promises are not only for blessing, are not only for the rain, they are for real people from other nations who've got mixed up in some pretty bad stuff. It may be a long time. It may be a mixed bag. It may be sin and surprise. But God's promise, Matthew is telling us in the preview, is not stopped for one moment. He just keeps on coming. The preview tells us some other names. Maybe many of them are in the Old Testament. If you go to the genealogy of Luke, he's got even more names. They're not quite sure why they are different. The first half is the same. The second half is different. Maybe that Matthew is kind of the official royal descent. And if you are unfamiliar with a lot of those names, and I guess most of us are, you've got a lot of good reading ahead to get familiar with some of them who were not always easy and not always nice, but all important in their way, in their time, in their place, for God's promise to keep coming and to keep moving. One more name and one more detail, and then what about us? There was, in verse 9, a reference to Uzziah. Don't know if that rings any bells for anybody. You might be familiar with a reading in the prophet Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died. And Isaiah is given a vision of God in the temple in his glory. And he's given a commission, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, yes, I'll go. And he goes to a generation who are not interested. And there we see that name, Uzziah, in the preview. And I thought, well, we live in the year that Queen Elizabeth died. I wonder what vision of God we're receiving, and I wonder who God is sending us to, and if God dealt with the generation then in the way that he did, what is he going to do with this generation? Because one of the other things that gets mentioned in the preview, in these names, is not just a name, but an event. And the event is the exile. From the exile to Babylon. And again, in the preview to Jesus, you think, well, I think I know about Moses and the Red Sea and maybe one or two of the kings and so on. But what about the exile? Do you know about that? Do you know that there came a time in the history of these people, because they simply ignored what God was saying to them, that he acted in judgment against them and he carted them off to Israel, to Babylon? And we see in the preview, in the names, not just the blessing of God and the reign of God, the dealing with sin and all the rest of it, we see tough love. We see sometimes God bringing us and the nation to our senses by some pretty tough stuff in order for us to be able to receive the blessing and the promise. But the preview tells us that the exile, even the experience of judgment, was not the end. God keeps on coming. He keeps on working. He keeps on bringing his blessing and his reign. Matthew's telling us that he's named out of the genealogy 14 to get the message. In people were into numbers in those days. These numbers signified something significant that God was doing throughout history across all these different people. And all of this, and all of the rubbish and sin and the unbelief and anything that we want to throw back at God, even if we want to ignore him, God's still coming. He has not forgotten what he promised. Matthew 1 is telling us he's coming. And as we've heard already in our service, in this season of the church's year, we remember his coming again. That's a preview. What about the follow-on? It's a great preview. The episode that you'll see in Matthew, actually Mark, Luke, and John as well. But I want us to think for a moment about the follow-on. And I want to ask you whether your name is in it. And I want to ask you whose name might be added because of God's blessing through you and God's reign in your life. Fast forward again to the end of the gospel. All authority in heaven on earth is given to me, says Jesus. Go into all the world to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them all I command you, and I will be with you always. That is the end of the gospel of Matthew. That is the person who in verse 18, in the next verse from our reading ending, is in the womb of his mother Mary. Truly human and truly God, as we heard from Alex in our catechism. So if that's a follow-up, Matthew or Peter begat the man at the beautiful gate. We were hearing about that, the coming to faith. Paul begat Lydia or Timothy or Epaphroditus or some of the other people, or Luke himself, the author of the gospel. People who come into Jesus' family by faith. So my question very simply this morning, friends, is what about your name and mine? And I wonder who was the name on the list before us? Who brought the gospel of Jesus to us? And who might be on the name, who might be the name after us, who comes into the family of Jesus because of something we said or did? So here's the question, is your name on the list that we might write in the follow-up? It doesn't mean just singing that song. Some of you will know it well, and I love it. It's a great song, "When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There." That's fine to sing it. But the question is it real? Will you be there? Has Jesus been born in us, as we sing in one of those carols? Born again, his spirit in us. We thought about the divine and human in that catechism. What about the divine in us? His genes, his identity, his authority, his blessing, his reign, his teaching, his commandments, his forgiveness. And here's the thing. If you're not sure, today is the day to be sure. Christmas time is the time to be sure. Because all you have to do is to ask him. All you have to do is come to him. You may want to get baptized or confirm your baptism publicly and say, my name is amongst the names of those who belong to the family of Jesus and the promise of God through him to the world. And if you say, oh, Keith, or not to me, you say to the Lord, Lord, you really wouldn't want my family, not my background. You should see my family tree. And do you know what Jesus says to you? Look at mine. Or you might say, Lord, don't you understand? There is my sin, my disobedience to you, my going after other gods, my ignoring everything you've said. I came out of the car park this morning. I noticed a MUFC. I can't imagine what that refers to. Something important in Manchester, no doubt. And I couldn't quite believe what was underneath MUFC, the religion. Whatever our sin, whatever our going after other things and putting them in the place of Jesus, Jesus says, you'll be in great company. Just look at the ones who came before me. Don't you understand? I came to save you from all that stuff. And if you need to confess your sins, you can't do better than go back to Psalm 51, written by David after what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah, as one of the greatest prayers of confession in the whole Bible. And Jesus saying, don't you know I came to take you out of slavery? And if you've ended up in exile because you just have got trapped in stuff that is just messing you up, well, I've been there too, and I've come to show you that there is still a future for you in the promise and the blessing and the reign of God, because I've come for you. So would you like to come to him? And would you like to tell the world that I'm a part of Jesus' family? And if you already know that you are, wonderful, then maybe the message from this morning, and this ties in with what Henry was saying about the Bible reading, maybe there's quite a bit of the preview and maybe a bit of the follow-on as well. You think, actually, I could do with getting a bit more familiar with some of these people. We're in the same family after all, but I don't really know who any of them are. Maybe you want to read the book of Ruth, or the book of Kings, or the book of Samuel, or the book of Genesis, or the Psalms. And you want to make that part of 2023. And you've got a wonderful access through the church's website to do it. Abraham and David, Ruth and Bathsheba, Isaiah, Uzziah, and all of them are to help us to know that Jesus has come for you and for me and for the world. And to think about, I'm thinking of Silver Lace Avenue. I don't know what part of the community you might be thinking of. As we pray the promise and the blessing and the reign of God, as we did in our prayers for Manchester and for our country at this critical and difficult time. So, enjoy Christmas. Enjoy the films. Enjoy the football. Whatever the previews, don't dare to think that Jesus doesn't want you to be in the follow-up. Amen. Lord, I pray now for each and every one of us that there will be nobody in this church who would be in any doubt of your coming for them and your calling them. And in whatever way they need to pray, would you bless them? If they need to talk to somebody, to Henry or somebody in a community group or somebody they know, to say, I know I need to come to the Lord today. May that be a blessing. And may you bless us together as part of your family, Lord, in the community groups or wherever we meet, to strengthen and encourage each other. And Lord, use us to bring a blessing to this community, to Manchester and way beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.